Let's join together in song. We will sing number 217, Christ the Lord is risen today.
This morning's sermon scripture is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, and can be found on page 1139 of your pew Bible. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. This is God's holy word.
I came in after the egg hunt, and there was an egg here on the, and I gave it away to a kid, but somebody must have seen me do that, so they gave me another egg. Unfortunately, mine's not empty, but it doesn't have a candy. It has another egg. One Easter morning, a woman was on her way to church when she saw her car. The car broke down, and not wanting to be late for the special Easter service, she called up an Uber to pick her up. The car arrived, and she quickly jumped in the back. Halfway through the ride, she asked the driver a question, but the driver evidently didn't hear her. So she leaned forward and tapped him on the shoulder, and suddenly the driver swerved off the side of the road, missing a car, ended up in the berm. And they sat there for a few seconds trying to compose themselves, and the woman apologetically said, "Wow, I'm so sorry. I had no idea that tapping your shoulder would alarm you like that." "No, you really didn't do anything wrong," he said. "It's just that this is my first day driving for Uber. You see, for the past 25 years, I've been driving a hearse." Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for fellowship. Fellowship with you through your Son, Jesus, who when he died on the cross, when he rose from the grave, he was further revealing your love and your grace to us as your people, to the world. And Lord, I pray that in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, you would open up our minds to this lesson this day, that you would be glorified and we would continue to proclaim Jesus as Lord and share the gospel with others. In Christ we pray, amen. You think about the surprise in that Uber car. Well, the women who went to the tomb, the disciples of Jesus, the crowds of people who had heard Jesus teach or had seen him perform a miracle, the disciple named Thomas, those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, none of them expected Jesus to rise from the dead. They watched him die on the cross. Some of those women watched his lifeless body be placed into the tomb. And they all thought it was over. Death was final. Now, Jesus did his best to prepare them. He tried to prepare them for what was going to occur on the third day, but evidently it was beyond their understanding. And then on the third day, Mary was amazed. And Peter and John were amazed. The rest of the disciples were amazed. Those two disciples traveling to Emmaus were amazed. The disciple Thomas, he had to wait a week, and then he was amazed. It was really true. The tomb was empty. The grave cloth was there, all folded up very nicely, but the body was gone. And as the days and the weeks went by, Scripture shares that more than 500 people were amazed by seeing the resurrected Jesus walking around once again. They were amazed. There was no alarm. There was no fear. Just amazement that Jesus Christ is alive. The truth of the gospel proclaimed. Though not all the world believes the Easter miracle, the Easter truth. It really wasn't what to share this morning. After going through Holy Week's experiences and those services, and I've done this a few times, what new thing could I say? And then God bailed me out once again. I got an email from the president of the AAMA. Have you heard of that august group? The Archbold Area Ministerial Association, the local group. This is an email from the president. "Hello, AAMA. No religion in the world can claim a physical resurrection from the dead. Only the Christian faith. Muhammad is still dead. Joseph Smith is still dead. Charles Russell is still dead. The Buddha is still dead. Only Jesus Christ rose again on the third day, just as he had promised he would." As pastors, the email went on, "We have the privilege of proclaiming the greatest message of hope in all the world, the unchanging message of the gospel, that our sins have been paid by the shed blood of Jesus, that salvation is a free gift, we don't earn it and we can't pay for it, and that we can live the abundant Christ-centered life now and for all of eternity. May the Holy Spirit be present in your worship services and may you see changed lives in the church, all because of Jesus Christ rising from the tomb. Blessings, Kent. I so appreciated Kent's message and the encouragement that he was offering, proclaiming the greatest message of hope. Hope. Faith is defined as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And as Easter people, we are filled with that hope. Through his rising from the dead, Jesus fosters hope for all. Fosters hope for all, overcoming and conquering death and all the emotions, all the grief that would go with death. Truly, with Jesus, anything and everything is possible. I read a story that was told about a non-believer who became a Christian. Some of his friends asked him, "Why have you become a Christian?" And the man answered, "Well, it's like this. Suppose you were going down the road and suddenly the road forked in two in directions and you weren't sure which way to go. And there at the fork of the road were two men. One was dead, one was alive. Which one would you ask about the way to go?" Yes, not only is Jesus alive, but he stands at those forks in our own roads. He is there alive. He is with us. He promises to always be with us to the end of the age. He is there to direct us to the way to eternal life. Next Sunday, the blessing of Presentation Sunday in the life of St. John's Church, where we have four young men who are going to share their faith. And I pray that you are praying for those four this week, that as they prepare and as they share, it's another direction from Jesus for the way to go to eternal life. Dr. George Sweeting tells of an incident in the early 1920s when a communist leader was sent from Moscow to Kiev to address an anti-God rally. For an hour, the communist leader abused and ridiculed the Christian faith until it seemed as if the whole structure of belief was laid in ruins. And then questions were invited, and an Orthodox church priest rose and asked to speak. He turned and faced all the people, and he gave the Easter greeting, "He is risen." And instantly the assembly rose to its feet, and the reply came back loud and clear, "He is risen indeed." Think about that. An hour-long lecture decrying the Christian faith. And one priest stood up and said, "He is risen."
"He is risen indeed."
Whew, thank you. That Orthodox church priest exuded hope. He knew that Jesus Christ is risen and alive. He knew that no matter what else others said, he knew in his heart Jesus is alive. And as he proclaimed that word, the response naturally burst forth from the rest of the crowd. The Apostle Paul relied upon the hope he found in Christ. And he wanted to pass that hope on to others, to the Corinthians, by the letter he wrote to them. In what we've heard read from 1 Corinthians 15, "By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you." I did a little exercise. I've never really done it before, but I did an exercise this week, and I looked back over all of the messages that I've offered on Easter, and I thought I could just pull one of those out, and none of you would ever remember what I said. I looked at them, and it wasn't right. I needed to be filled once again with the hope of God to be able to share with you the encouragement of the gospel. And so even though the scripture, we've read it before, through the power of the Spirit and through our faith in Christ, the word is new each day. Saved by the gospel. The hope of Christ is found in and through the scriptures. And we are called to hold firmly to the word, to hold on to it. And that is the word that we preach. And that's what my brother in Christ, Kent, wanted us to do. The word of hope and the word of grace. And then Paul summarizes the miracle and the hope of the resurrection, the first and the greatest importance of life. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. First. This is why we gather. The flowers, the songs, the music, the words, they're good. But this is the essence of Easter, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He died for our sins. We let the sin go. That guilt and that shame is free, and we are filled with hope and Easter joy. That He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Jesus could have saved Himself from the cross, but He didn't. He paid the cost, and our salvation is free. And He laid in the tomb because that's what He said would happen. And what Jesus says would happen will happen. And He rose on the third day. And then He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Most of them who are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Back in the day of Paul, over those 500, many were still alive, but some had already died. They had fallen asleep. And Paul speaks to all. And then Jesus appeared to James, and then all to the apostles. And last of all, He appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. It's an unusual word in Scripture, abnormally born. Paul was abnormally born, the least of the apostles, because he was the one that was persecuting the church. Even when he was on the road to arrest more, that's when he was reborn in Christ, when he met the Lord on the road. A Lord who offers hope, a Lord who offers grace to all who come to Him. And so that's the promise of the gospel, and that is the work of the church, to share the gospel of hope, the gospel of grace. And this is the hope of Easter. Rebirth, renewal, recreation. Changed lives through the power of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord. I invite you to take a few moments. Humor me. Close your eyes. You're in a safe place. Just close your eyes. And I want you to imagine the empty tomb. You might have seen pictures, you've read the accounts. A hole in the rock, a round stone set to the side, because we are envisioning the empty tomb. And I want you to think about the truth and the reality of the grace of Christ. It abounds because that tomb is empty. And open your eyes and look to the cross and know that Jesus Christ loves you and His grace is upon you this day and forevermore. Amen.
As we bring our service to a close this morning, I invite you to rise as you're able as we come together singing number 220, He Lives. Following the spoken benediction, our benediction and song will be verse 1 of number 215. Alleluia, alleluia.
I know where He is.
That is the hope of the gospel, the hope of the good news, that Jesus Christ lives in your heart and you will continue to worship him throughout your lives. Blessings on this Easter day. Amen.